you would take your copies of God's Word and open them to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, our text today would be verses 1 through 20. Mark 5, beginning there in verse 1. Hear this word of the Lord. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use that word now to instruct your people, to build up your church in the most holy faith, Lord, to draw sinners to yourself, Lord, to encourage, strengthen your church and your people. Lord, our desire today is that we might hear your voice, and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know, following Jesus' amazing and terrifying to the disciples control over the stormy wind and the raging sea that we saw last week, when they landed on the other side of the lake, his equally remarkable power over a crazed man possessed not by just one demon, but by a whole army of them, is on display. And it is from this legion of demons that we find the answer to the disciples' question out on the lake. You remember, hopefully, last week, when Jesus calmed the storm with just a word, three words actually, the disciples were terrified. And they said, "Who is this?" Well, here the answer comes from this legion of demons. Who is this? Who indeed? Jesus, Son of the Most High God. You know, there are several accounts in the New Testament of Jesus casting out demons, but there are none so fully described and so dramatic as this one. Mark gives us a lot of detail here, but, you know, I think many people today would be put off by accounts of demon possession, and they tend to chalk them up as mental illness or epilepsy or some kind of seizures and so forth. But the details that Mark gives us would preclude any such diagnosis here. This account illustrates an extreme example of the nature of demon possession, and it gives us something else. The preference of the people of this region for their pigs rather than for the presence of Jesus. Believe it or not, I believe that that's still the case in many places today. There are many places that prefer the pigs of their daily life, whatever they might be, to the presence of Jesus Christ. I think that's true in many countries, many regions within this country. And when we say region, I think that's a good word. Your text might say region, it might say country, because it's the region of the Gadarenes, or the Gerasenes, or the Gergesenes, depending on what your translation might say. That was the area, the Decapolis. There were 10 cities on the other side of the lake, largely Gentile cities. Gadara was pretty close. It was only 10 miles from the lake. Gerasa was like 35 miles from the lake. And Gergesa, which is the modern city of El Kursi, was kind of in that area, and there were cliffs and very steep banks there, and tombs also, which sort of fit this description. But it's likely that this whole area was just referred to as the area of the Gerasenes or Gergesenes, or, you know, whichever description you might prefer. But all that aside, as soon as they pull the boat up on shore, this crazy man comes to meet them. He's naked. He's wild looking. He's out of control. And he had this superhuman strength. He could break iron chains. He could break iron shackles off of his legs. No one could control him. He was truly a frightening sight. Perhaps a little more frightening in a way than the raging storm that they had just escaped from. The man is tormented by his demons. He's injuring himself. He's taking sharp rocks and cutting himself, and the blood is flowing. He's got to be a very frightening thing to look upon. You know, he's reacting to this torment within. And, you know, I think a lot of people today, as I said, would try to put some kind of therapeutic name or some kind of psychological analysis on the man's condition. But Jesus recognized the source of the man's torment and his surprising strength. He was possessed by a demon. But he wasn't possessed just by one demon. It's a whole army of demons. But it is in that very fact that we see the power of the Lord Jesus. You know, first, there's this man with this superhuman strength. No one could control him. The people around there were terrified of him. And he's got this strength because of this huge number of demons that are within him. But notice what it says. As soon as the man sees Jesus, actually as soon as the demons see Jesus, even from a distance, the man who is totally under their power runs and bows down before Jesus, shouting with all of his might, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Swear to God, he said, that you won't torture me. Because Jesus had commanded the demon to come out of the man. But Jesus doesn't answer the demon. Rather, he demands to know the name of the demon. You know, we see the Lord's complete power over these demonic forces. Jesus asked the question, and the answer is immediate. My name is Legion, for we are many. Now, we don't know with any certainty what that number actually means, but I can tell you a Roman legion was 6,000 men, and we're going to see in a little bit 2,000 pigs are inherited or possessed by these demons. So it's safe to say, I think, that the number of demons that were within this man probably numbered in the thousands. How can it be that one man could be possessed by so many demons? Well, I think his miserable condition, his extraordinary strength, all that testifies to the fact of this multiple demon possession. But there's another question I would like to ask. You know, if there were thousands of demons here, or even hundreds, why didn't they just attack Jesus? Or at least the disciples? Why not? It's the power and authority of Jesus Christ. They recognize what myriad numbers of people today do not recognize. What's even some pastors, some churchgoers do not recognize, namely, that Jesus is very God himself. And here in the region of the Gerasenes, the fullness of deity was on display in bodily form. But many people don't respond like the demons. You know, they don't show deference to Jesus Christ. They don't recognize who Jesus Christ is. But on the other hand, many of them do respond like the demons. What do you want with me, Jesus? They always leave off the Son of the Most High God. They never say that. But what do you want with me, Jesus? That's really been the standard question that's been put to Jesus by individuals and depraved societies throughout the years. We don't want anything to do with you. What do you want with me? What have you got to do with me? What do your demands and your commands have to do with me, Jesus? Well, the demons respond to Jesus' order by what? Begging. They're begging. They want to stay in that region. I think they recognize that that's a very fruitful place for them to work. And there was a large herd of pigs nearby. So they begged Jesus to allow them to go into the pigs. They are there in the presence of Jesus Christ. And pay particular attention to this. They cannot, here in the presence of Jesus, just go and do as they please. They're in total submission to his authority. We saw that power out on the sea. The wind and the waves are totally submissive to Jesus' commands. And here, thousands of demons have no power except to do as Jesus commands. You know, I think it's interesting, the ritual uncleanness of the pigs from a Jewish point of view, kind of makes this whole transfer seem somewhat logical. This man is living in the uncleanness of the tombs. He's living among the dead bodies, probably in some of those caves where they often put the bodies. That's unclean in the Jewish mind, to be around or touch a dead body is unclean. So he's unclean, and the pigs are unclean, so the demons, the unclean spirits, are transferred from that uncleanness to another uncleanness. I just see that from the tombs to the pigs. You know, Jesus had ordered these demons out of the man. The only real issue is, where will they be permitted to go? And Jesus agrees with their proposal. And it results in the destruction of a huge herd of pigs. You know, we see here just a graphic example of the malice of Satan. It's on full display here. His agents, cast out of the man, are still bent on death and destruction. And the extraordinary size of this herd, 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of pigs. And every single one of those pigs led to rush down a steep bank to a cliff and jump over the cliff to their death into the lake. Obviously, they were possessed of something. So, you know, what we see here is just the scope and the power of the deliverance of Jesus. He takes this man who is in this pitiful condition, but fearsome man with this great strength, and Jesus is not afraid to approach this man. In fact, the man comes running to him and bows down before him because the demons recognize Jesus. And Jesus casts them out, sends them into the pigs, and they end up with the destruction of 2,000 pigs. Well, those people who were tending the pigs run into town and tell people of these events. And the people come out to see this strange sight. This man who is feared, this wild man, tamed by some guy from across the lake, and 2,000 pig carcasses floating in the lake. You got to see that to believe it. It's all very strange. There's going to be a terrible stench here. The pigs were bad enough by themselves, but dead pigs floating in the lake. This, you know, this guy's caused a big problem here in our area. And those people from the town, they're possessed also. I'm not saying they're necessarily possessed by demons. They're possessed by fear. They feared to come here before because this wild man, this guy who was so strong and so crazy, no one could control him. It was not safe to go there. They were afraid to go out there. But now they're afraid because he's dressed and sitting with Jesus in his right mind. It's kind of like the disciples in the storm. They were scared in the storm. They were terrified in the calm. These people were scared of this man. Now they're terrified of what's happened. That this man is healed. This man is sitting at the feet of Jesus. They're probably upset, as many modern people would be, about the huge financial loss here. And they're afraid of a man in his right mind, freed from the power of Satan. And most of all, they fear, then and now, a man sitting at the foot of Jesus, a man or woman redeemed by Jesus, instructed by Jesus, and walking with Jesus, is a threat. It's a threat to a world dominated by self-serving fear and greed. You folks are a threat. You may not realize that. But people serving Christ, people following Christ, people sitting at the foot of Christ in their right mind, are a threat to this world. And so what we see here, that the demons were trembling with fear before Jesus, They were begging Jesus to let them stay in the area. And then we see the people of the area trembling with fear because of what Jesus has wrought, begging Jesus to leave the area. Go home. Go back across the lake and leave us. Leave us in our sickness and our sin. The demons want to stay in the area, and the people want Jesus to leave the area. Can't get much worse than that. They're pleading. They're begging with Jesus to just go home and leave them alone. Leave us alone with our demons. And so many people today are alone with their demons, and they push Jesus away. They push Jesus away in order to continue living in their sin and their misery, begging Jesus to keep out of their ways of life. And we have to ask, what kind of reaction would Jesus have? What kind of reaction does he have in our cities and towns? Jesus is feared in our land, just as he was feared in the region of the Gerasenes. He's feared because he's a disturber. He's an upsetter of the order of society. And thus it is when the ways of Jesus come in conflict with our way of life, we hear the echoes of the people of the Gerasenes. Get out. Go home. Leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Leave us with our demons. We're happy this way. And so, Jesus getting in the boat to leave. And the man from whom the demons was cast out runs up to him, begging to go with him. He's ready to follow Jesus. He's ready to give up his home, his country, and follow Jesus. But Jesus wouldn't let him. That may sound a little strange to us, but the Lord has other work for him to do. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. We see a couple of things here. First, the place that Christians would choose if they could have their own way is not always what Jesus would have us to do. We may think we want to do one thing. Christ may lead us to do something entirely different. But secondly, this man has a unique opportunity, like all of us, to tell those closest to us what the Lord has done for us. It's a testimony that no one can refute. No one can challenge, no one can dispute what the Lord has done in your life. You, like this man, know what you were before Jesus came into you. And you, like this man, have a unique opportunity to tell what God has done and is doing through Jesus Christ. A believer's home and family really has first claim on his attention. It seems like a big letdown to go back to the familiar and the ordinary life, but Jesus sees it as a test of devotion. Go home and tell your family. You know, I'm always puzzled. Sometimes I get a little vocal about it. But I'm always puzzled by folks who will spend thousands of dollars of their own money and use their vacation time and go live in very tough conditions for 2 weeks to witness to people whose language they don't speak, but who will not drive across town or walk down the street to tell someone about Jesus where they live. I just guess it's more impressive to tell people, well, I went to Timbuktu on a mission trip, rather than say, I talked to the lady down the street about Jesus. That don't get a lot of attention from people. But it's not so in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus said, go home and tell them what the Lord has done. And that really begs the question, do you have anything to tell others? Can you testify to the work of God's grace in your heart? Have you experienced deliverance from the power of the world and the flesh and the devil? Those are important questions. Of course, if we've never been born again, if we don't have a new nature, if we're not in our right mind, for those without Christ have been given over to a depraved mind. That's why you see some of the crazy things they say and do. If we're not new creations in Christ, we really don't have anything to tell, do we? If you cannot tell of God's redeeming work in you, if you can't tell what Jesus Christ has done for you, I plead with you now, repent, believe in Christ and Him alone for salvation, and you'll feel that new life and joy like that experienced by this man who was delivered by Jesus. But if you, on the other hand, as I think most of all you, have anything to tell others about Christ, please, please resolve to tell it. Do not be silent. If you have peace with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to share that good news with family and friends and even casual acquaintances. This man spread what Jesus did throughout the Decapolis, through 10 cities on the east side of the lake. We can do that in our city, in our community, in like manner, and in the same way, all the people will be amazed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has overcome sin, death, and hell, and freed us from the dominion of the devil, who has delivered us from our own sin, from our own evil way of life, handed down to us, the scripture says. Lord, we were born sinners. We came into this world as sinners. As David said, we were conceived in sin, in our mother's womb. But Lord, you have delivered us. You have freed us from that. And Lord, we should be telling all of your great grace, of your great love, mercy. Lord, let us indeed be like this man. Go home. Go to those around us. Tell them of Christ. Tell them of what God has done, how He has had mercy on us, and how He will indeed have mercy upon them if they will but repent and believe. Lord, may we do so. May we be diligent in that, in doing what you have commanded us to do. And may it be for your glory and honor. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.